Without doubt, the most frightening thing a parent can encounter is the onset of a seemingly inexplicable seizure of their child. Febrile seizures occur in 2 to 5% of the population, but the majority of children present to hospital after the seizure is terminated. Recognizing the risk factors for febrile seizures and knowing how to manage them is an important skill to have as a doctor. Welcome to Plabable Pods for Docs. My name is Sophia, and in today's episode, we enter the world of pediatrics by discussing febrile seizures. For visual aids on today's topic, head over to our website at plabable.com for high-yield revision notes and a question bank. Today, we are very fortunate to be joined by Dom, who is a paediatric registrar. He's going to help take us through this topic. Dom, do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a bit more about your interests?
So I am Dom. I'm a senior paediatric registrar who works in London, and I'm very excited to be here to talk about paediatrics, which is obviously the best specialty and has the most interesting patients. So thank you so much for inviting me, and I'm looking forward to talking about febrile seizures.
So just to get everyone on the same page, could you first explain to us what defines a febrile seizure and tell us at what age of children it typically affects?
So absolutely. First thing to say is febrile seizures are pretty common. And you spot them by three big components. Number one is the age bracket. They pretty much exclusively occur in children between about 6 months to 6 years, with a peak around 2 to 3 years old. But obviously it's in the name, but they tend to occur around the time of fever, and they present with a seizure, which is usually a tonic-clonic generalized seizure, which, as you mentioned, can be quite scary to parents.
So do we know what causes the seizures and how they come about? Is it to do with the maturing brain and whether it's particularly sensitive to fever in comparison to adults? Do we actually know?
I wish we knew the answer to that, but the short answer is no one really has any idea. There are lots of theories out there, and there are lots of genetic predispositions that may make you more or less likely to have them. But in short, we don't know why febrile seizures occur.
Before we move on to presentation, let's cover some of the risk factors that predispose children to having febrile seizures. Dom, are there any specific risk factors that we should be aware of and we should be trying to elicit in history when it comes to discussing febrile seizures?
So the big obvious one is, has there been a fever? Now, the actual type of fever is a little bit more interesting. It was classically thought that just a high fever predisposes you to a febrile convulsion. We now think that it's maybe got to do more with a rapid change in temperature. So going from a low temperature to a very high temperature quickly, or vice versa, going from febrile to afebrile very quickly as well. Now, beyond that, the only other real risk factor of simple febrile convulsions is, do you have family that also have them? There is clearly some genetic or inherited predisposition to febrile seizures. Beyond that, you're talking really about, is there something else going on in that child that makes them more likely to have seizures, full stop? Whether that's because they've got an underlying epileptic disorder, whether they've got other abnormal neurology, developmental delay, or nasty CNS infections like meningitis. But when we start talking about that, we're very much moving away from the simple febrile seizures into a more complex type of epilepsy.
But I'm glad you brought up epilepsy, actually, because I think many parents, when they've had a child who's had a febrile seizure, they get very concerned about the risk of epilepsy developing after that seizure and whether there's a connection between these two conditions. As far as I've been aware thus far, the risk of developing epilepsy after a febrile seizure is still quite unclear. What do you say to these parents, Dom, about the risk of epilepsy in these children and the link of epilepsy with febrile seizure?
So it's a really tricky question because, exactly as you said, we don't exactly know. What I do tell parents is, first of all, febrile seizures are benign in themselves. They don't necessarily mean that the child has epilepsy or anything more serious going on. That said, we do know that a child that has had a febrile seizure is probably more likely to be later on in life diagnosed with a seizure disorder. The incidence of that goes from probably about 1% in the general population, maybe to 2% if you've had febrile seizures. But to be honest, that's probably more due to the fact that the child already had an underlying seizure disorder that hadn't shown itself, and the febrile convulsion was just the first presentation of it. I do always warn parents that the fact that a child has had a first febrile seizure does make it more likely for them to have another febrile seizure in the future. And this probably depends on how old they were when they had their first one. Littler children are more likely to have another one than older children. So if you're a one-year-old, you've probably got about a 50-50 chance of having another one in the future. If you're two or three, maybe about one in three children will have another one.
Okay, so in order for our listeners to get a really good image in their head of the presentation of certain conditions, we like to run through a clinical scenario to help illustrate our points. So, let's imagine a father has brought in his 18-month-old daughter into paediatric A&E. He is incredibly upset and concerned, as this morning he found her stiff and shaking uncontrollably in her cot. He says that the whole episode probably lasted less than 5 minutes, and afterwards he's brought her straight to A&E. So this episode probably occurred within the past hour. She's now a little bit sleepy and tired, but otherwise completely fine. Dom, could you talk us through this presentation and highlight why a febrile seizure could be a differential in this case?
So I think the first point is your first point, which is that most parents are really upset and really scared when these children come in, because seizures are terrifying, and seizures associated with fevers to people who've not seen it before are really scary. But this is a classic presentation of a simple febrile seizure, which we know actually, although scary, are pretty harmless. So let's go through that history. Dad has found his daughter stiff and shaking uncontrollably in her cot. Now, unless proven otherwise, that's the generalized tonic-clonic seizure. That's the classic presentation of a child who is stiff and all of their limbs are shaking all over the place. Now, you talked about the timing of this lasting less than 5 minutes, which is pretty classic as well. Really, most febrile convulsions will last less than 15 minutes. Most of the ones that I see last significantly less than 10 minutes. They're quite short-lived, which is more reassuring. And exactly said, by the time that the children arrive in A&E, usually the seizure has stopped and the child is probably a little bit post-ictal, a little bit drowsy, maybe a little bit confused as to where on earth they are. And that's why febrile convulsion is probably most likely in this case.
All right, thanks for taking us through that, Dom. And I believe it's an important thing to consider what type of seizure these patients are actually having. And we can group these seizures into two different types. You've got simple seizures and you've got complex or complicated seizures. And I'm just going to run through the things that define each of these. Simple seizures are the most commonly seen type of febrile seizure. And these typically last under 15 minutes. You don't have a recurrence within a 24-hour period or within the same febrile episode. They typically reoccur in about a third of children. Whereas on the other hand, complex seizures are defined by their focal features and they typically last over 15 minutes. So these are longer. The features of the seizure that you see in these children aren't these generalized tonic-clonic seizures. They're much more likely to have focal neurological phenomena occurring instead. These can recur within 24 hours or within the same febrile episode, and they tend to get a prolonged kind of post-ictal drowsiness and this incomplete recovery that you don't get with a simple seizure. Dom, do you want to talk through what investigations you would do to a child who presents with a history that we went through just now?
So you're absolutely right that it's so important to differentiate these children between a simple seizure, which is basically a febrile seizure that's behaving the way that you would expect it to, or a complex one, which is a little bit different. Child's maybe a little bit more unwell, or there are some of those red flag symptoms, some of which you touched on. The really important red flags that you need to be aware of are the length of the seizure. So as I said, anything that's lasting more than 15 minutes or a really prolonged post-ictal phase where the child doesn't return to their baseline and gets up and asks to have some juice within about an hour is a little bit unusual for a simple febrile convulsion. Again, you mentioned recurrence. We wouldn't expect these things to recur within 24 hours. Usually once you've had one, you'll be fine for a day or so. The other red flags that you really need to think about are, is there any other abnormal neurology going on? So you touched on focal signs, particularly after the seizure itself. So any kind of weakness or any confusion, something that makes you think there might be something else underlying this, or any of the signs of raised intracranial pressure, which is a big topic that we don't have time to cover. But if you notice anything else neurological going on, that's a big red flag. The other thing I like to do when I'm taking history is also do a little bit of a developmental assessment, because a child with abnormal development or developmental delay who has even what looks like a simple febrile convulsion should be treated as a more complex one, because they're just at higher risk of having an underlying neurological condition as well. In terms of examination, we're really going to do a thorough head-to-toe assessment in these kids with a focus on a neuro exam, which in the vast, vast majority of children will be normal, but you don't want to miss that child with subtle focal neurology. Now we come on to investigations. And this is a really interesting area, because parents present with a child that they're terrified about, thinking they've got some nasty disease. And then they meet me, who goes, this is incredibly common. We know what we're dealing with, and we're not going to do any tests at all. Because if you're happy that this is a simple febrile convulsion in a child that is now happy and well, there is no point going looking for trouble. That said, do remember this is a child with a fever, and you should treat them like a child with any other fever, which is again a topic for a whole other day. But don't miss simple things like, is it a urinary tract infection? Now, if we're worried about more complex seizures, there are probably some baseline things that you might want to think about doing. First of all, a blood sugar is always really important, particularly if the child is still or only just stopped having a seizure. As we all know, don't ever forget glucose. The other thing to think about is whether you want to do an ECG, because arrhythmias in children can present as seizure-like episodes, and fevers can also predispose to arrhythmias. So another quick and easy test for you to do in your emergency departments. After that, it really comes down to looking at your child. If you've got an unwell, poorly child in front of you, you're going to need to rule out nasty infections. Think about, is this meningitis? Is this a more serious neurological condition? But that's going to be dictated by the kid in front of you and what you find on examination.
Thanks for that, Dom. Once we're confident that we're dealing with febrile seizures, we need to know how to manage these patients. Let's split this up into how we would manage both an acute seizure and a child after they've had a seizure. The majority of children will present post-seizure if it's been a simple seizure. However, it is good to know how to manage a seizure if one should occur right in front of you. So if that is to be the case, the first thing you should try to do is take note of the time. This is really important, as it allows you to monitor the duration of the seizure, which is important when it comes to the management. So once you've noted the time, make sure that you're protecting the child from any sort of injury. So make sure there's nothing around them in their immediate environment that's going to harm them if they hit it. And if possible, place some soft cushioning underneath the head or around the head so that they don't hit their head at any point. The most important thing to note here is that you don't restrain the child. That is going to do more damage than good. So it's very important that you don't restrain these children. Make sure that you check their airway. So check if they've vomited at all, or if anything is obstructing the airway at all, and do your best to remove that or put the child on their side. Once the seizure has terminated, regardless, you should put the child in the recovery position just while they're in that post-ictal drowsy phase. And make sure that you're keeping an eye on the time and you're just observing the child until the seizure terminates. Now, if the seizure seems to go on for over 5 minutes, at this point, that is where you need to call an ambulance. Dom, do you want to come in here and talk us through what happens when a seizure does indeed go on for more than 5 minutes?
Definitely. So when a child is seizing in front of you, the first thing to do is not panic and start your timer. Because exactly like you've said, in terms of treatment for the seizure itself, you don't do anything for the first 5 minutes, but you focus on the lovely simple things that we all know: airway, breathing, circulation. disability. Don't ever forget glucose and exposure. All that stuff that is our bread and butter. When that timer hits 5 minutes, you're suddenly in the realms of what we would define as status epilepticus, which is now defined as a seizure that is lasting for more than 5 minutes. When you hit 5 minutes, you need to think about trying to terminate the seizure with medication. This is your cue to reach for the benzodiazepines in the drug cupboard. And there are lots of different ways we can give them. So you can give it orally or buccally. You can give it rectally. Or if you're speedy with a cannula, you can give it intravenously as well. And usually these meds are pretty good at stopping the seizure in its tracks. Certainly febrile convulsions should stop with one dose. So in most cases, your medication is going to stop this seizure. And then you can go back and do all of your lovely chat about febrile convulsions. Then you get to the question of discharge and who do you give some rescue medication to when they go home? And this is a bit of a tricky question. Really, it comes down to, do you think this child is going to have another seizure or going to have more seizures at home? And if they do, are you happy with them being managed at home? Or do you want them to be calling 999 and coming straight into hospital? For a child with a simple febrile convulsion, you're not really expecting to have another seizure. And if they did, it would be a little bit odd. So I would want them to come straight back to see me, and so wouldn't give them anything to go home. However, if you've got a child with a known epilepsy disorder, or they're having recurrent seizures, and actually parents are pretty good, they know what they're doing. They say, "Doc, every single time it stops with the first dose of midazolam, can't we have some at home? And then if that doesn't work, we'll come straight in and see you." Those are the parents that you go, okay, you can deal with the first 5 minutes on your own and see how we get on.
So just to recap, we've kind of already touched on this in small amounts throughout the podcast so far, but let's just consolidate how we manage those patients who've presented after the seizure has occurred. So Dom, run us through what assessment you do with regards to looking at the cause of the seizure and what kind of advice you give to parents.
So if you're in a lucky enough position to not be reaching for your advanced life support algorithm and your ABCDE, it's just the same as any other medical condition. It's all in the history. And a really thorough history is the key for these children. You need to make sure that you're not missing any of those red flags, any of those signs of a more complex or abnormal febrile seizure, and that you've got a child that is now well and recovered from this scary episode. So we've already gone through the red flags, and we've talked a little bit about the examination, that you want to do a top-to-toe assessment looking for any kind of abnormal neurology, but also having a think in the back of your mind is, am I missing something more sinister? So we talked about children with fever, and the big one to think about is this fever actually meningitis? And is this child seizing because they've got a CNS infection? And these children are really picked up on because they look more unwell. They're lethargic. They have abnormal observations, and they're not the child who's charging around your AME generally being a terror to everybody. So good history, looking for red flags, thorough examination, making sure you're not missing any other signs of underlying or insidious illness. And then a lot of reassuring, explaining what's happened to mum and dad and giving them some good safety netting advice before they go home. That's the key.
Okay, thanks for that, Dom. So I think as we close the podcast today, let's just go over the take-home messages from this topic. So febrile seizures are common. They tend to occur in children under 6 years of age, so between 6 months and 6 years old. They're typically simple seizures, which are brief and tend to be generalized tonic-clonic seizures. And 1 in 3 of these children will have a recurrence of a febrile seizure after their first one, but the majority will not go on to develop epilepsy. The key thing to bear in mind if a child is having a seizure right in front of you is to not restrain them. Make sure the child is safe and keep an eye on the time. If anything goes on for longer than 5 minutes, that's when you need help, and that's when you need to start helping them resolve the seizure that they're experiencing. Okay, I think that's it for today's podcast. If you want to test your application of today's topic, please head over to our website at plavable.com for high yield revision notes and a question bank. We'll see you next time.
This podcast was brought to you by Plabable, with special thanks to Dom for joining us today.